This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. It's part of the American dream to build your own company from the ground up and achieve success. Of course, it's not easy to make that dream come true. It takes time, money, expertise, and a little luck to really make it as a private business owner. That's why incubators have sprung up around the country. They give fledgling companies the infrastructure and resources they need to get started. Incubators have been around for a while, but they really took off in the digital age. Here in North Carolina, there are a variety of incubators. The American Underground, right here at American Tobacco, is a pretty good example. It hosts a number of models. Another model can be found in competitions like the Cherokee Challenge. That's a contest sponsored by Cherokee Investment Partners located in Raleigh. The firm recently announced a 2012 class of companies, and joining us now is J.T. Vaughn, the founder of Cherokee Challenge. Welcome, J.T. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank. Thanks for having us.
Also joining us is Adam Klein, chief strategist for the American Underground. Welcome, Adam.
Thanks, Frank. Good to be with you.
J.T., tell us about the Cherokee Challenge.
So the challenge is a competition and accelerator focused on identifying and developing high-impact environmental entrepreneurs. So we're only in the second year, you know, and we're seeing how it goes. But we're really focused on championing the ideas that could have enormous environmental impact, but also economic upside.
So how does it work? Who comes to you, and how do you get involved in the challenge?
Sure. So in January, we open a call for applications. And any entrepreneur throughout the country can apply to the challenge. And what we're offering them is seed funding, $20,000 in exchange for a small amount of equity. And then the main thing I think that we offer them is a community of support, which is an advisory committee that comes together around these entrepreneurs. And we have a weekly meetup every week throughout the summer. So every Thursday evening, it's like a family dinner. And we all get together. And the entrepreneurs provide updates, and the advisory committee members open their network, which is a big deal.
And the challenge part of it is you sort through a lot of ideas and you pick some winners.
That's right. So we'll get applications from, you know, obviously a lot from the triangle here. This is actually a growing clean tech hub. So we have a lot of applications from the triangle, but also throughout the country from Mountain View, California, to New York and Austin and Seattle, different places.
But, so they come to you with a great idea for making coal clean or storing solar energy, and it's a really cool idea. You sit around, give them some support. Now we've got somebody who's got a little bit of expertise, these dinners that you talked about, mm-hmm. a little bit of money. Then do you invest in that company as well, and do you take an equity stake in the company if they take off?
Exactly. So, you know, the ideal situation would be that these ventures would get their foundation under them throughout the summer and then take off in the fall. And not only would we be interested in investing in the venture, but then other investors inside and outside of the advisory committee group would also kind of be potential investors. So this afternoon, for example, one of the ventures, as soon as I leave here, I'm going to meet with one of the ventures and a potential investor, which is interesting in doing.
This sounds a little different to me, and I don't know how the VC world works, but in most cases, venture capitalists will put their money and take their stake and stand by and hope for the best. But mm-hmm. in your case, you're really kind of protecting your bet a little bit. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me.
That's right, Frank. I mean, you know, that's the great thing of, and Adam can speak more to this, I'm sure, but this community of support. And the advisory committee is just phenomenal. I mean, these guys really educate the entrepreneurs on how to communicate with investors, what to look for, what type of terms to expect, what's fair, you know? Because when you're first getting started, you have no clue. And at some point, you'll become desperate. And so you really need to know how to approach investors and what to expect.
So, Adam, tell us about the incubators here at American Underground. They work on slightly different models. Tell us how it works here.
Yeah, so there are two that I want to highlight, the first is Triangle Startup Factory, which is an accelerator model that has some similarities to what JT just highlighted, primarily focused on software and IT companies. They give $50,000 to the companies that they select, take a percent stake in the company as well. It's an intensive 3-month program, so it is time defined. They bring in a class of, say, 5 or 6 companies at a time. Dave Neal and Chris Hively, who run that program, provide a lot of expertise and guidance to those companies. They've started about 8 to 10 companies between them. And then they surround them, like JT said, with a board of advisors, with people who can help answer questions that they might have about financing, things like that. Groundwork Labs is has some similarities as well. That's also in the American Underground. John Austin runs that program, and it rather than taking equity in the company, they're giving giving you a chance to start your company in the underground for free and get you ready for a grant program that NCIDEA runs. NCIDEA funds Groundwork Labs, and so they're interested in expanding their deal flow and seeing who are the budding entrepreneurs that are out there in the region and really across the country who want to come to Durham, to North Carolina, to start their company. So they can come launch their company in Groundwork Labs, get going, get their questions answered, really hone in on what their market is and what they're trying to do in order to take on investment down the road.
So is the Underground itself a hive of companies that nurture startups, or are there startups there as well? A little bit of both?
A little bit of both, but it's primarily startups. I mean, we love entrepreneurs. I mean, when you spend time with entrepreneurs, and JT and I have talked about this offline a lot, I mean, it's an inspiring group of people to be around. And what we found in working with them is that they want to be around other entrepreneurs. And we think at the Underground, the best resource we can provide an entrepreneur is another entrepreneur.
Well, that's an interesting point, because one of the things we thought about when the world went digital is, yeah, you can start a company from your garage, and you can do it, and you can communicate with partners all over the world, so it really doesn't matter where you are. But you're saying, in a sense, it does. Being around people who think like you and have the same problems really creates a lot of extra value.
Absolutely. That's a huge value add for our companies. You find that the face-to-face interactions, when you're walking down to get a soda after you've been scratching your head on a coding issue, let's say, you're a software developer, and you run into a guy like Aaron Houghton, who founded iContact, and just sold that company for $180 million right here in North Carolina. And he can resolve that question for you. And now all of a sudden your idea gets better. You can move the company forward much quicker. That's a huge value when you're an early entrepreneur trying to figure this out.
JT, your company focuses on green tech, that is environmental technologies. Why did you decide to focus on that?
Historically, that's been our focus. Cherokee got started back in the 80s as a brick company, actually, and taking an environmental approach to manufacturing bricks. And throughout the 90s, we raised and early part of this past decade, raised a series of private equity funds focused on remediating brownfields, so environmentally contaminated real estate. But along the way, we've also done a number of early stage investments in startups all throughout the spectrum, but our real focus and expertise is environmental ventures. And it really gets to kind of what are our values or what do we believe. And ultimately, we would like to see a world in which all businesses are environmentally net positive. You know, we're not there today, and that's a long, long trip to go, but that's what we're working towards.
Those are your values, then therefore the company's values. Does money care? Is money interested in this kind of thing more and more? And I'm talking about the trend.
No, great question. More and more there are great investment opportunities in the green tech, clean tech space. So I think in the early years of this movement, there weren't a lot of opportunities that made economic sense. So it got a bad rap. You know, you would never go out and market your venture as a clean tech or green tech venture, because any investor is running for the hills, you know. Definitely in the past decade, you've seen a number of successful venture-style investments in clean tech-focused ventures across the country. Locally, you can look at Platt Watt and Concert as recent examples that have won not only the GE Eco Imagination Challenge, but have received outside funding. So I think more and more the trend is going in that direction.
Adam, it seems to me another advantage of having all these companies clustered together in a place like the American Underground is that you, as sort of the managers of this scene, can learn a lot. I mean, you can aggregate a whole lot of information. So what have you learned? I mean, what have you learned from what have been the big mistakes and challenges that you've had to kind of deal with?
That's a good question. I think are there a couple things that I've sort of stumbled upon along this road? And I think the first is that there is a really significant shift that's underway in the culture of entrepreneurship that we find ourselves in right now. And that is a movement away from kind of a command and control approach where I'm the boss and I sit in my corner office and I don't engage with my employees very much. And now you're seeing a very collaborative, team-based approach, very flat organizations, flat businesses. And when I look at our startup ecosystem that's emerging in Durham and across the Triangle, the way that we need to support that and fuel that has to mirror that. It has to mirror a very collaborative, we're here to serve, we're here to support you, tell us what you need. We don't, as someone who, I am not an entrepreneur, but I hang out with them all day and I'm here to help. And my role is really about listening to the entrepreneur and figuring out what they need rather than coming in with the assumption that I know right off the bat and I'm going to just dribble the ball and they're going to like it or something.
Great. And I'm going to get you to speak at our next all staff meeting. Just because of that. Thank you both for being on the program. Adam Klein, Chief Strategist for the American Underground. For more information on the Underground, go to AmericanUnderground.com. JT Vaughn is the founder of the Cherokee Challenge. And for more information about that, you can go to CherokeeChallenge.com. Just ahead, what happens when an idealist turns from the war in Iraq, returns from that war questioning his beliefs? You'll find out more on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.